Woo! Welcome to WrestleCast. I'm Skyjack and...
What? Wrong podcast. But you handed me this script. Oh, other script. Sorry. Let's try that again.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to GuildCast, the podcast about Guild Wars and the only online game with the cutest married couple in gaming, Lady Sinea and Loudon Swain. And now, without further ado, here's your host, the man who put the boo in Boogaloo, Sean.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 62nd episode of GuildCast for January 19th, 2007. I'm your host, Sean. So did you miss me? In this episode, we're going to have a profession show all about the Dervish, and I'm not only going to go over what this new Nightfall class is made of, but I'll also read some listener-submitted info regarding some tips and builds that they found helpful through their experiences with the Dervish. I did it this way because I didn't want to do another Skype profession show, mainly because we've had so many Skype shows over the last few episodes. But also, I've honestly not even really had the desire or the chance to bring my own Dervish up through the ranks yet. And this is mainly because I've just been having so much fun with my Necro in Nightfall. So what I've done is I've relied on the listeners to put their heads together for much of the info in the show. Now, there's a ton of news this week, so I will get into that. But first, I wanted to name the many people who asked to be mentioned this time around. There's Melik of Monks, Messenger of Death, Nikki W. Sedai, Grayskull Deathknell, Tunky the Dervish, Cervantes Nero, and a guy who... I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but I forgot his name. I just remember it started with an M. But it's kind of funny because we actually... talked for a little while, but then I logged off and I changed characters and I completely forgot to write down his name. So whoever you are, start with an M, I apologize, but there you go. And then there was also a guy by the name of Sean who asked to be mentioned, and no, that's not me, it's a different Sean. So on to the news. Let's start out with some of the older news from earlier on in the month. Last weekend, I was certainly glad I didn't have to do a show. No offense, but it was the one special weekend event that I was really looking forward to the most. What they had was they had the double experience point gain for the elite skill caps. What that basically means is when you go out and you capture a skill with your signet of capture, you normally, for level 20, you normally get 5,000 experience points, but this time they were giving you 10,000. So it was a really easy way to get a lot of experience this weekend. So I took my Necro out, and I ended up capping 39 skills in all between her and my Paragon. And I was actually going to go for a skill title with my Necro, but I just didn't have the time at all. But, you know, I did rack up the experience, and I got some really great elites for my heroes. It also had the unfortunate side effect of wiping out my bank, almost, so I'll be doing some hardcore farming here in the next few weeks. I also had the pleasure of stumbling upon a wonderful podcast this week from a fellow Guild Wars player. The podcast itself isn't about Guild Wars, it's more of a string of episodes revolving around this woman's life experiences. But she does do one episode all about Guild Wars. Now, an interesting sidebar to this is the woman's age. And I'm old enough to know that you don't ask, or you especially don't publicly proclaim a woman's age. But I'll say what it says on her website. It says that she was born in 1937, so you do the math. I ended up listening to her Guild Wars episode at first, and then I loved it so much that I went back and I listened to almost every one of her other episodes. She's really a fantastic storyteller, and I loved listening to all of the episodes. So I was moved enough to email this woman and tell her just how much I enjoyed her stories. Well, to my surprise... she said that she's actually a Guildcast listener, and she knew who I was. So that was really cool for me. But she also said that I have full permission to play a bit of her show on mine. So I went through her Guild Wars episode, and I picked out a little bit that I thought was pretty funny. And I'll play it for you right now.
The scenery, the graphics are gorgeous. You're in a sort of fire-blasted landscape that's post-Ascalon, and then on to the wintry shiver peaks. Deal with ice imps, and then on to Kryta, where you have a semi-forested area. And then the jungle, where there are poisonous spiders and trolls and other hideosities, and a dreadful, dreadful group called the White Mantle that are conspiring to do dreadful things to the Chosen, whom you have to protect. And then there's Prince Rurik, who is royal but stupid. And you're always protecting him, because if he dies, then you don't make that mission. And each mission takes you to a new part of the map, and you work your way through until you get to the desert, the crystal desert with, hydras and sand lizards and all kinds of things running about and nipping at your heels.
So the woman's name is Sonia Brock, and you can check out her website at www.soniabrock.com. That's SoniaBrock.com. And when you go there, you'll find a list of all 54 of her episodes of her podcast, and they're just ready to download right there. So speaking of other podcasters, I also wanted to mention someone else who I've been in contact with for a little while now, and they just started up their own Guild Wars podcast for French speakers. I know we have at least a few listeners in France, so if you speak or understand French at all, you might want to check out this brand new podcast at www.tyrie.info. He actually mentions me in the first episode, so that'll get you mentioned on Guildcast. I wanted to also mention a bit about the Guildcast Guild, GLU. Since we've been getting so large lately, we're right about 90 members now, I think. We're approaching that maximum capacity, but I wanted to make an addendum to my original rules. Originally, I said that there would be no time limit for game activity, where, you know, I wouldn't kick anyone out for being inactive for 5 or 6 months or whatever. But what I did was I actually changed that now, and I'd like to keep the guild more active, so I'll be kicking players out now if they're inactive for 3 months. Currently, there are about 4 or 5 people that this would actually affect, so if you're listening to the show now and you're one of those people, let me know. And if someone gets kicked out for inactivity and wants to come back at a later time, that's fine with me, but I'd like to keep it a more active roster. I understand a lot of people in the guild have their second accounts in there, and they might not play them as much. I just feel like we're to the point now where we can keep an active guild and not worry so much about having this big, impressive number of members or whatever. You know, that's never really impressed me anyway. If you subscribe to the Guildcast feed or you frequent the forums at all, you may have noticed last week I did another episode of Guildcast Theater, which is my Guild Wars Machinima series that I've been working on. This last one was actually episode 3. And I was also finally able to get my first episode into the RSS feed thanks to the help of Cylindra Swiftsword and his expertise. So that's why they actually both showed up last week around the same time, while episode 2 showed up a few months ago. But like I've mentioned before, I do plan on doing many more of these in the future because, for me, they're really a lot of fun. I really enjoy the editing and the filming, and especially the writing. I think that's my favorite part, is writing these little episodes of this little video series. So definitely look for more to come. If you haven't seen any of them yet, go check out the main guildcast.com page and click on Video Gallery on the right-hand side, and all the videos are listed in there. That's actually including all the videos we've done, including music videos I've made, and also the Ascension videos that Lady Sinea made, and she also made a few music videos. So that's all in there. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's definitely worth it. And then, moving on in the news, we have, starting today actually, which is January 19th when I'll release this, and it goes on through the rest of the weekend, ArenaNet is holding a test weekend where players can test out new skill balances that they're going to try out on us, and also some changes to Heroes Ascent that they've actually mentioned before. So this is what it says in the official announcement on the GuildWars.com website. It says, join us on Friday, January 19th, around noon Pacific Standard Time, and try out the changes to the PvP area and to a number of skills. During the test and after, we encourage you to share your thoughts with us via our many fan site forums. The testing weekend will run through 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, January 21st, which is 7:59 Greenwich Mean Time on January 22nd. So now, after all that, on to the biggest Guild Wars news this month. Turns out that the name of Chapter 4 has been leaked through a recent domain name registry by NCSoft. Now, this isn't officially announced or anything, so keep that in mind, but the alleged name of Chapter 4 will be Utopia. No one knows if ArenaNet registered this name to throw people off or if it's actually real, but when Nightfall was first discovered in this exact same situation, it turned out, of course, to be true. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And we've only got, what, 3 more months? It's fast approaching. With the speculation of what the name Utopia could actually mean, it got me thinking more about my wish list for the future of Guild Wars. It really seems like every day I think of more and more that I'd like to see, and then I think of things that I wanted to mention back on the wish list show that I just never really got a chance to or didn't remember at the time. So here's a few more things, and let's see if you agree with me or not. I posted something about this in the Guildcast forums, but after watching Pirates of the Caribbean 2, I thought, now how cool would it be, and how possible would it be to make a swashbuckler class? Maybe even having quests on moving ships, you know, kind of similar to what they did in the Jade Sea in Factions, where they have that one ship where you can actually go higher, you know, higher levels in the ship. There's like about three or four levels in the ship. What if we had something like that, but it was moving? On the sea. I think that'd be kind of cool. And also another wish of mine is something that I really highly doubt that they'd ever do, but I'd like to see a character creation process like how The Sims 2 has, where you can tweak your characters in just so many different ways. Now, I realize they'd never do this because it would affect so much about the way people's current characters are and versus, you know, the new characters, and they'd have to change all that, and I think people would be in an outrage over that, but I just think it'd be kind of cool. Also, something else I'd like to see, which is pretty minor, and I think that they'd actually be able to do this, is to give us the ability to change our heroes' pets' names. And, let's see, what else? I knew there was something else. Oh, better dances? I think better dances would be cool. I think the Nightfall dances were interesting, but they weren't entertaining. You know what I mean? They were all, like, authentic and stuff. But there was no really, like, no funny pop culture references, like the male ritualist dance in Factions. You know, how he dances like Napoleon Dynamite. I think that's kind of funny. And wouldn't it be cool if we had, like, the Pee Wee Herman dance? You know, the one he does in Pee Wee's Big Adventure to the song Tequila? That'd be a perfect one right there. Anyway, you know what I mean. More entertaining dances. Oh, and something else I mentioned once in the forums, but I forgot to mention again, is the ability to set your character's home city. I guess that would go hand in hand with a bio, like I mentioned a few shows back. But what it would do is it would work like a guild hall, where you could press a certain key and it would warp you straight to your home city. And then maybe you can get certain benefits at the city that other people there wouldn't get. Maybe also you'd have the opportunity to change your home city, maybe like a maximum of 2 or 3 times. That way you'll have some place to strive for. If, like, say you saw a map of the whole area and you saw a certain area that you thought would be cool, then you could set that as your home city and strive to get to that. I kind of did that with my Paragon, Makeda of Sibelka. I looked at a map of Alona, and I saw Grand Court of Sebelka, and I said, that looks like a cool place right there. That's where I'm going to make her from. And I know I've mentioned that in a previous show, but I just think that would be cool to have, like, an official home city. And I don't know. I'm sure I'll think of some more later, some more little tidbits here and there. And I might even have a show later on, like after Chapter 4 releases, another wish list show where people can start to speculate on what they'd like to see in Chapter 5. But it would probably be another Skype show like I did in the last one. So I'm sure I'll think of more of those later, those little changes I'd like to see here and there. Because I always think of them, and I never write them down. So I'm going to start writing them down, and then hopefully I'll be sure to mention them in the show when I do. The Dervish is a close-range fighter wielding a scythe capable of hitting multiple opponents and utilizing enchantments to deal damage, cause conditions, and protect and heal itself. Many of its abilities strike multiple foes, allowing it to be a fierce combatant on the battlefield. The Dervish also has the ability to temporarily transform into the physical embodiment of a god. This consists of 5 elite form skills, each referring to one of the 5 gods of Tyria. This is incredibly useful in combat. The scythes deal a very respectable 9 to 41 damage. Dervishes also have skills that allow them to be fair healers of themselves and others. They also have other abilities to add damage or conditions to their opponents, such as crippling them or making them burst into flames. With a strong offense in spells and damage, along with the healing spells supplemented with the ability to turn into the avatar of the gods and strike multiple opponents, the Dervish is a powerful profession. One must remember that most of the Dervish's skills only affect those adjacent to him or her. Thus, movement and location upon the actuation of a skill are incredibly important. The Dervish armor consists of robes, which include bracers for their hands, and hoods, which symbolize their humility to the gods. You'll also notice this humility after a battle ends, after they've killed an enemy. Now, these robes that they have the same AL as that of a ranger or an assassin. Now, onto the Dervish's attributes. We have Mysticism, which is the primary attribute. Whenever an enchantment ends on you, you gain 1 health for each rank of Mysticism and 1 energy for every 3 ranks of Mysticism. Then we have Scythe Mastery. Scythe Mastery increases the damage you do with scythes and your chance to inflict a critical hit when using a scythe. Many skills, especially scythe attack skills, become more effective with higher scythe mastery. And then we have wind prayers. Many dervish spells, including those dealing with movement or cold damage, become more effective with higher wind prayers. And finally, we have earth prayers. Many dervish spells, especially those dealing with defense or earth damage, become more effective with higher earth prayers. As with many professions, the Dervish skill line has many skills that provide good synergy. For example, a Dervish using Avatar of Melandru might use Wearying Strike in order to take advantage of the attack bonus and Deep Wound without suffering the drawback of weakness. Another example would be Attacker's Insight and Lissa's Assault in order to regain your energy by making the attack free, while still gaining the energy gain from the spell itself. Now let's talk a little bit about enchantment management with the Dervish. As a Dervish, you'll be dealing heavily with enchantments, and it would be in your best interest to manage your enchantments effectively. In this case, managing means knowing when to drop or recast maintained enchantments, what order normal enchantments will be stripped in, energy cost, and effectiveness in any given situation. For example, if you use enchantments that cause earth damage, ensure that your opponents are not less vulnerable to that damage type. Now, you might not even know what an enchantment is or why you should use them. Well, enchantments are a long-lasting spell with varying effects. For instance, Faithful Intervention heals you if your health falls below a certain amount. As a Dervish, they are your lifeblood. They keep you alive and they increase your abilities or give you other bonuses. Now, releasing enchantments is fun too, because unlike other classes, most dervish enchantments not only trigger while active, but have secondary triggers when the enchantment actually ends. With spells like Mystic Sandstorm, you can charge in, loaded with enchantments, release loads of conditions and damage, and then run out until you have all the skills recharged. Something like this would be especially helpful with an assassin secondary, because then you wouldn't have to run in and run out, you could actually shadow step in and out. If you have many enchantments active at one time, it's referred to as a stack. It's important to cover critical or desirable enchantments with ones that aren't so important and recast easily. For example, the order in which you have cast your enchantments will be displayed from left to right in the effects monitor area. Enchantment stripping happens from the rightmost enchantment, also referred to as the outer, and goes left. This does only apply if you have not moved your effects bar to any other position on the screen, for example, like the bottom right, where enchantments will be stripped from top left to bottom right. This is all based on the default screen setup, of course. So then what you do is you cast your important enchantments first, and then you cast your cover enchantments. This way, your less important ones will be the ones that are stripped first. And when an enchantment icon in the effects monitor begins flashing, that means it has about 2 seconds of duration left. And at this point is when you consider recasting it, unless you want it to actually end for the bonus that you could get from the ended enchantment. Also, you'll have to deal with enchantment juggling. As a dervish, you can greatly increase your effectiveness by juggling enchantments. For instance, you might have Pious Assault as your attack skill, as well as some enchantments with low recasts, such as Vital Boon. It'd be best to end Vital Boon before it ends with Pious Assault, in which case Pious Assault will recharge instantly, and then you gain the health benefit and can recast Vital Boon then. You can actually do this every 8 seconds in the case of Vital Boon.
Hey all, this is Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street. I went shopping in Lion's Arch, and I went and bought myself a baby bone dragon. He is eating me out of house and home, but he has the cutest little roar. At first, I wanted to name him something that sounded sophisticated, like Galen or Cornelius, but then there was an even better suggestion on the Guildcast forums. So, like the official, unofficial Guildcast clown, my pet bone dragon is now named Toodles. I've never done it before, but I figured it was about time. I just wanted to give a shout-out to my guild. They're good players and great friends. Most of them, I'd say probably a good 80% or so, don't listen to Guildcast, so they'll never hear this, but they're some of the best people that I know in-game, and I feel lucky to have them. A couple questions that seem to come up a lot are, what makes a good guild, and how do you keep a guild going? Well, if you've already taken into account that you have a group of people who get along well together, then I think one of the main things is that if you keep in touch with them, then you don't feel like you're all just a bunch of separate individuals who have nothing in common. One thing that we were talking about on the forums recently was organizing activities and doing stuff with your guildies. I've pretty much always done that, even in guilds where I was just a member and not an officer or anything. I'd have in mind what I wanted to do in the game, and then I'd give a shout on guild chat and say something like, hey, anyone up for an Oro run? Or I'd be setting up for a mission and say, I'm doing Iron Mines, anyone need it or infusion? And then if anyone wants to come along, that's cool, and I'll wait for them. But if not, I don't mind just henching or pugging it. I just like to give everyone the option in case anyone does want to tag along, since I'm already doing the mission, or whatever, already. Sometimes organizing particular activities at certain times can be difficult. It is especially in my guild, since we don't always know when we're going to be online, or even if we are going to be that day. Plus, it just seems too much like a you-have-to-be-here kind of thing, which I don't like at all. I like things to be a bit more relaxed and not so regimented. I might say, I'll probably be doing THK around Thursday, but I'm not going to commit myself to a specific time or anything like that. I just like to play. Recently, we've been getting a lot of guild and alliance groups going. Sahu started getting us into tombs farming again, and we've been having some groups that are a combination of Glue, DT, and my guild, which is always fun since we all know each other. We also got some friends to come along on a couple of those runs. We've also been ABing together pretty often, which I like a lot more with people that you know rather than just going with pugs who don't pay any attention to what you're saying. So now I think I only need about 280k till my Ally of the Krizix title. Yeah, I'm pretty close. Some weeks ago, I was ABing on the Luxon side for the Befriend quest, and I was playing a Mesmer, and I saw an Elementalist and was like, hehe, easy pickings. A little Backfire, a little Conjure Nightmare, slap on a little more Degen, and usually that's it. The person goes down in just a few seconds, but this Ellie would not die. I had so much degen going on this guy, but his health would not go down. After almost like a minute of trying to kill this guy, I realized I was not going to be able to, so I just switched targets. After that battle, my group was saying, "What was up with that Ellie?" And I just said, "He had some kind of massive health regeneration going on, and I think it was something from his Dervish secondary." I wasn't sure what he was using, so I didn't know if I should try to bring enchantment removal or not, because there are a lot of Dervish skills which give you bonuses when the enchantments end. But we ran into that guy a couple more times, and someone was telling him in all chat, "Your build sucks," and they were arguing about it, as people typically do. And I said, "No, it doesn't. It took like 10 of you guys to kill him. My build is good." And he laughed and was like, "Ha, thanks, Menlo." I was on my PvP character, whose name is Menlo's girlfriend. So anyway, he whispered me and asked, "Hey, was I tanking your whole team?" And I said, "Pretty much. Took like 8 people to kill you." And I started talking to him about it, and although it's not like a big secret or anything like that, all the information's very easily, readily found, but he said, "I'll tell you about my build since you appreciate it." Basically, he was running something that I think was similar to the Stoned Enchanter build on GuildWiki. He kept up a bunch of enchantments and the Dervish skill Mystic Regeneration, and that's how he was getting so much health regen. He was using it basically as a distraction, and he was getting the other team to mob up on him while the rest of his team went and capped. I have to say, it worked really well, and it even worked on me at first because I wasted a bunch of time trying to kill him before I realized that I couldn't. Mystic Regeneration gives you 1-3 health regeneration for each enchantment you have on you. That means you can have like 20 pips of regen, so long as you have your enchantments and Mystic Regeneration up. I tried it out, and I used less enchantments so that I could do more damage, and I think I would probably rather go with a different element than the one that the GuildWiki build used, but the principle is still sound. Even with only a couple of enchantments and Mystic Regeneration, it's a nice cushion to help you stay alive longer. I have a guildie who was just using Mystic Regeneration and Conviction as self-heals on his Ellie. If you run more enchantments, you can basically just sit there and tank pretty much anything, so long as you don't get all of your enchantments stripped off. This skill probably has some good potential for solo farming builds, or it could make a good tank for team farming. With the way that it has no cap and no limitations, though, on how much energy regen you can get, I don't see how Mystic Regeneration isn't going to get nerfed somehow. It just seems way too powerful when you've got the entire right-hand side of your health bar full of up arrows. So, anyway, check it out if you'd like, and enjoy it now before they nerf it. This has been Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street. Toodles!
So now let me get into some listener-submitted tips on the Dervish. These will include some builds also, so I guess you could kind of consider this the skills and build segment, kind of. Alright, first we have from Ulrich Nightblade in the forums. He says, "Here's my Dervish build I've been using. I tend to run the Dervish more like a tank. Here's the build. Crippling Sweep, Chilling Victory, Avatar of Balthazar, which is an elite, Vital Boon, Mystic Vigor or Imbue Health," and then he says, "I'll use Imbue Health for missions where you need to keep an important person alive during the mission, like the King in Thunderhead Keep." And then he also has Zealous Renewal, Faithful Intervention, and your choice of resurrection. This build is heavy on mysticism, earth prayers, and scythe mastery. Before the battle, turn on Vital Boon, Avatar of Balthazar, and Faithful Intervention. Then do your initial attack with Crippling Sweep to cripple your foes and bunch them up. Then whack the mob with Chilling Victory and Zealous Renewal to keep up energy, and continue to follow up with Crippling Sweep to keep foes crippled as needed. If you have a nuker in your group, they can help by just bombing your opponents in front of you. With the Avatar and the Vital Boon, you have plenty of health and armor, so you'll actually be able to tank for a while. If you take a lot of damage, Faithful Intervention will intervene and keep you from getting hurt too badly. Keep up the enchantments for the battle, and you should be fine. I've been tanking all kinds of creatures without getting beat up. I had a lot of fun aggroing some Minotaur mobs and then pounding them. I've used this build through Nightfall and Prophecies, and it worked great. So that's Ulrich Nightblade's tip on the Dervish. And what would a Guildcast show be without mentioning Loudon Swain, of course? So he gave us his own tips on playing the Dervish. And of course it involves the monk. He says, make sure you and the monk are on the same page about enchants. If you're going to be aggressively removing enchants from yourself, then let the monk know. Some builds, especially prot ones, rely on enchants. If you remove them, then you are negating the monk's ability to keep you alive. So the monk needs to know that enchants on you would not be the best way to go. Likewise, if you do rely on enchants, let the monk know. They may be able to incorporate a cheap enchant, like Guardian, for example, into their build that will really benefit you. The Dervish and the monk can really hinder each other if they are not on the same page. However, they can really benefit each other if they are of a like mind. Wise words from Loudon Swain. And the next one we have is from, let me see if I can pronounce this right, Aonani Ravenclaw. She says, I've come up with a great damage dealer build. The main skill for this build is Avatar of Lyssa. This elite skill will give you plus 53 damage on foes activating skills with a max mysticism with the headgear plus 1 and a superior rune. I will use Chilling Victory on foes which are bunched up while in Lyssa form to cause a lot of damage to my target as well as foes around it. I also bring enchantments, usually Heart of Holy Flame for those pesky bowmen who use Whirling Defense. And then I remove the enchantment with Meditation and the bowmen are set on fire. I also bring a nice attack skill called Wearying Strike, which will do a lot of damage. The only downside would be that it causes you to have weakness afterwards. But I set my monk's heroes up to have condition removal, so it works out pretty nicely. Another really nice skill I use is Imbue Health, which, with a max mysticism, will heal a teammate for 53% of your current health, which is a really nice healing skill for making a monk's job a little easier. I'll also sometimes bring Faithful Intervention for if my health gets a little too low. I don't really bring a lot of self-healing into this build, but usually with a max mysticism, if I remove enchantments, I can gain a whole lot of health and energy when enchantments end or are removed. And if all else fails, I run right out before I get myself killed, which isn't too often at all. So this build, actually, the one she talks about, does sound a lot like the one that Ulrich talked about. It has a lot of the same skills and seems to work pretty similarly. And finally, this last one I'm going to read is, I saved the best for last. And I'll just go ahead and read it because it's kind of funny. He says, Dear Sean, here is the Leet Dervish tip. If you are a girl dervish, dye your hood yellow, your skirt yellow, your chest piece red, and sandals red. It looks super awesome. Here's another Leet Dervish tip. Always keep your inventory full of ales. When attacking, make sure you are drunk for that Matrix bullet time fighting look. Your faithful savant, Toodles the Clown. So, that'll do it for this episode of Guildcast. On the next episode, I wanted to do something a little fun and not so serious. And I'm going to do a topic that I've thought about for a little while now. I'm going to go over my top 10 list of what you need to do to be a better Guild Wars player in general. Or an alternate title for this would be, How Not to Suck So Bad at Guild Wars. I'll include things like, for like a general example, if you're a caster, if you're an elementalist or a monk, don't run up to the front lines. Don't be a tank. You're not a tank. You're a caster. You know, I'll go over things like that. Now, this is a general suggestion, but I want to save the actual top 10 for the show because I think a lot of them are pretty funny. I've held off on doing a show like this for quite a long time, but lately, you know, I've been getting so fed up with pugs, especially in high-level areas, that just don't know what they're doing. They don't understand the basics of the game and, you know, the fundamentals of how to play their class effectively. So I think that this is a public service that I do this, you know. And you know me, I'm going to have some fun with this. It's going to be, I'm going to be poking fun at a lot of different things. I know people get take offense to when I make fun of assassins or, you know, whatever. But if you're easily offended as far as what you do in the game, and if you can't take a joke, you might want to skip next week. But if you want to be entertained and you want to laugh, this will be the show for you. So this will probably be sometime in the next 2 weeks or so, maybe sooner, because I really want to get this out. So until that time, be sure to spread the word, tell your friends, and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.